Well, welcome, Eduardo. Eduardo Castillo. Why don't you say a word of welcome to the folks?
Buenos dias, brothers and sisters. What a joy and a blessing to see you guys and greet you. It's a lot of fun, and honestly, to be back home is always
It's
on.
It's on now, it's off?
Yeah.
You've given it to the wrong guy, I'm just telling you. I need help.
Oh, yes, I need a lot of help.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, this isn't starting like we'd hoped, but it's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, we'll get through it. We're going to talk today about singleness. And I felt like it was so appropriate that Eduardo's here, because Eduardo has served as a single missionary for many, many years. And we're blessed. We're blessed by his ministry. And it just seemed appropriate that when we've been talking about marriage so much, that we should address those who are single and give praise to God for them. So our thoughts today are the unique blessings of single disciples is really the focus of what we're going to be talking about. And I want to begin, I'm sorry I cut you off there, Eduardo, but we'll get back to you, Eduardo, here. That marriage and singleness are both good and can be a gift from God. In Genesis, we already read that Adam was in need of a helper, and God miraculously created Eve. And Adam said, wow, you know, she really was a helper for him. And so God blessed marriage, and in that same chapter, he says, for this reason, the man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they'll become one. And it's a beautiful thing. But singleness is also a gift and is good. It's declared to be good. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do, Paul writes. And we're going to look at that chapter a little later this morning. What I like the way John Piper said this. Marriage and singleness both present us with our unique trials and unique opportunities for our sanctification, our preparation for heaven. There will be unique rewards for each, which is greater, will not depend on whether you were married or single, but on how you respond to each. And I found that to be quite challenging as I was reviewing this. Remember, we're all part of the family of God, which is an eternal family. All right. Everyone who is in Christ is a part of a forever family that will never end. Whether you're married or single, whether you're young or you're old, none of that matters. What matters is that we're in Christ. And what a joy it is to be able to celebrate that. Now, I'm looking at Matthew 19 to begin with. And in this passage, Jesus had been asked a question about divorce, and he gives provision for divorce and for remarriage. But he's pretty strict about it. He goes back to Genesis, quotes from Genesis, and the concluding thought of the disciples is, this is the situation between a husband and wife. It is better, if this is the situation, they say, it's better not to marry. Which leads Jesus to begin to talk about singleness, which I found very interesting as I was studying this. Remember, at the time that they said this, some of the apostles were married. We know Peter was married at that time. Can't know, be sure about the rest. But Jesus replied in verse 11, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way. There are eunuchs who have been made that way by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. At the very first sentence of that little paragraph, he calls singleness a gift. Did you see that? He calls it a gift. And I found that very interesting that he would say that. And then he says in verse 12, if you can accept it, which in the original means make room for it in your life. If you can accept it, if you can make room in your life to be single, he has blessing for you. Now, he talks about why people are single, and he says some are born that way. It's a sad thing if people are born with defects or some other things that has them. I had a very good friend who's in heaven today, and Dennis had cerebral palsy, and because of that, he never married. But he served the Lord, he loved the Lord, and he accepted his situation very well. He actually did. He told me one time, because he shook a lot, if I wanted some fun, let him serve communion. That's what Dennis told me. It would be very interesting, Pastor, if I served communion. But he was born that way. Some have been born with same-sex attraction, and they struggle with that. And the way that they deal with that is to live a celibate life. That's what some have chosen to do. He also says some are made that way, and of course that's a very frightening thing. Likely, as we talked about this earlier, Daniel, the great prophet, was probably castrated when he went to Babylon. Probably. And I can't imagine the horror of that, or the strain of that. Some are made that way by divorce or by becoming widows. I mean, there are many reasons why people might become single. But then there are those, he says, who choose it. He says, there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And I found that to be such a challenging statement. I thought that we should talk about that a little bit. John Stott, who was single all of his life as a pastor in England, said that we shouldn't exalt singleness over being married. They're both good. They're both a gift from God. There's no reason. Some of the church fathers did, actually. Tertullian, for instance, really celebrated his singleness and said he was a better Christian somehow because he was single. Stott also said he never took a vow of singleness, which I found interesting. He said when he was in his 20s, there were two women that he seriously thought about marrying, but God did not lead him that way. Some of you know in the Reformation time that Martin Luther, maybe you didn't know this, Martin Luther had 8 nuns that wanted to leave with him in the Reformation. So he married off 7 of them. And there was one gal left. Her name was Catherine. So he married her. And they had a wonderful marriage. When he was asked about his vow of celibacy, he said it was a stupid vow. I shouldn't have made it. So that was how he dealt with it. Paul, we know in Scripture, chose to be single. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers in Cephas? He and Barnabas chose to be single. Eduardo, I was interested, since you've served as a missionary for so long, how has has singleness been a gift to you?
I think it's a choice. It's like we read before, because it's normal to get married.
Yeah.
The majority are looking for that. Everybody around you sometimes come to a point of desperation.
Yeah.
Other people get in fear and fight against God. They get angry because they don't find what they're looking for. And just, it's sometimes strange, but it's a process.
Yeah.
Because you have choices. You see wonderful girls that love the Lord, but it's something that you don't feel like led by God, or maybe you don't think is the right time. And suddenly, through the time, you start making inward decisions.
Yeah.
Choices when you prefer. It's an issue of preference. Maybe I prefer to be single. And that's important, because that choice, when you surrender, like we was talking about, become a slave by freedom, provide true freedom.
Yeah.
Because you stop thinking more about that. You start thinking about, oh, why I'm not getting married, why this or that. You stop all of that voices and make that decision to join and have fun, and if something happened in the future, it would be fine.
Yeah.
But you have peace.
Yeah. You know, marriage is a choice too. I mean, you know, singleness is a choice, marriage is a choice as well. Right after this service, I'm going to meet with a young couple that are getting married in early November, and they're making that choice. They're displaying their faith in God. that God brought them together. They're displaying their faith in each other, that they believe that the Lord will help them to carry through on the vow that they're making. I'm curious, again, quoting John Piper, God promises those who remain single in Christ blessings that are better than the blessings of marriage and children, and he calls you to display, by the Christ-exalting devotion of your singleness, the truths about Christ and his kingdom that shine more clearly through singleness than through marriage and child-rearing. That's quite a statement, coming from a man who wrote a book on marriage, and he and his wife sat down after 40 years, and he says, "We made it, honey. We did it. 40 years we've stayed together, and that's what God called us to do, and when we made it." But here he's celebrating singleness. And again, with scriptural reasons, he is doing that. Thank you, Eduardo. I'm going to turn over to 1 Corinthians 7, and we're going to talk a little more. But before we do, these are the blessings that Piper points out that are unique to singleness. The family of God grows not by procreation, but by regeneration through faith in Christ. We all believe that. Secondly, relationships in Christ are more permanent and more precious than relationships in families. They're permanent. They're forever. That's why we give to the Lord, because there's a bank in heaven. We invest in eternity. But that can be in your life as well, and it is in a part of our lives. Sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ are closer to us than our own blood relatives. We know that to be true. Marriage is temporary and finally gives way to the relationship to which it was pointed all along, Christ and the church. What an interesting statement. But it's true that when we die, marriage is over. There will not be marriage in heaven. And isn't that interesting? That's what it was pointing to all along. Even as we've gone through this series, we said that our marriages are a picture of Christ and the church. And one day, we'll be like the angels in heaven, and we'll all be single. That's rather interesting. Faithfulness to Christ defines the value of life. Again, that's a blessing. It's our faithfulness to Christ that defines our life, not our marital status or lack of marital status. And let me apologize that sometimes, and too many times in the church, people have felt awkward because they were not married. And it should not be that way. It should not be that way. And I find that to be a challenge. Now, what did Paul say? In 1 Corinthians 7, he's talking a little more about the situation. And he says in 1 Corinthians 7 that whatever you were when you were called to Christ, just remain in that station of life. Now again, this is his words, and to some degree it's his opinion. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. He says that twice. But then he goes on to say this, that you're free to marry. He's addressing people that were engaged and others, and he's very plain about this. Now, about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. It was not a sin. And I find that to be very comforting. One writer said it this way, singleness is not a disease for which the only known cure is marriage. I mean, you know, that's the problem. That's part of the issue, isn't it? That we keep thinking that the solution is marriage, and the solution really is staying close to Christ. Amen. The solution is drawing near to Him. The solution is living your life for Christ, whether you're married or single. Singleness actually, Paul says, has some advantages, and we'll ask Eduardo about that in just a moment. What are some? Those who marry face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you of this. Isn't that funny that he would say that? But those of us that are married would confess, yes, there are unique troubles. The word speaks of pressure from the outside. There are unique pressures that come upon us because we are united in a covenant to a spouse. And then if God blesses and little sinners run around the house that we created. Well, we didn't. God did. But, you know, I just had my grandkids down this weekend, and I was reminded of all this. Again, there are unique pressures. He also says, I would like you to be free from concern. some of the distractions, some of the worry, some of the burdens that come because you're married. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs. How can he please the Lord? But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world. How can he please his wife? And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can she please her husband? I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. It seems like that's the ultimate goal. Eduardo, I want to ask you, how has singleness given you freedom?
I think that freedom come not only to allow me to go any place I want,
yeah,
but the freedom inwardly, because at home, I have really a strange itinerary. I wake up almost every day, 3:30 in the morning, yeah, and I start doing...
You only sleep 4 hours a night, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I do. Because yeah, I think if I would be married, that would be a challenge or a problem for my spouse. Start writing, reading, praying, yeah, whatever I want to do for the Lord, is a lot of joy.
Yeah.
And I am really close to friends of mine that they are married, and I like to see their kids and things. But I hear them too. I don't say too much about that, but I said in my heart, I'm glad I'm not married. Just because it's like Paul said, all the daily things, kids go to school, come bring them to school, now to college, is endless. And what a blessing. I think it's a lot of joy.
Yes, yes. We're not saying it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But when they invite me to go to one country or other places, I said, close the door and go. And I emerge with them. I enjoy what I see. I have a lot of fun. I miss that. I come back again and keep doing what God wanted me to do. And just freedom is a blessing, is a joy, and you can dedicate yourself for specific things, like he said, for him, for the kingdom, for the people.
Yeah, sometimes we say that Christians, we look for fat Christians. Did you ever hear this? faithful, available, and teachable. And there is an availability in singleness that is very unique. That's one of the things I've always admired about you. Eduardo is just, his calendar is whatever God calls him to do. And I admire that so much. He's traveled to Cuba, he's gone to South America, he's been here in this foreign land called America. But it's just a beautiful thing to see how available you are and how you do your ministry that way. If on a certain day you need to go visit a pastor up in the mountains, you go. There's no reason that you can't. And I just admire that freedom. And it's a blessing. It is a blessing. Paul goes on to say, and he says a lot, but I wanted to finish this morning by looking at some of the unique blessings that are given in the Old Testament. If you have a Bible with you, I'd really encourage you to turn to Isaiah 56. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. And before we just discuss it for a few moments, let me just read this. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice, do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And could I add, for all people? The gospel is for anyone and everyone. Doesn't matter how old you are, young you are. Doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what education you have. It doesn't matter what you look like or don't look like. You know, all of this, God is assembling his family all across the world. And he's been doing this from the beginning of time. That when people gather, it should be a house of prayer. Should be a time of acceptance and love. And really, that's really the message. So this is quite an exciting passage of scripture, really. There's a general call to all of us at the very beginning. And he's saying that, God's salvation is near. And for that reason, let us do what is right. Let us be people of justice. Let's be concerned about justice. God's justice is always important. They were going to go into captivity for 70 years. You know, as Ed was saying this morning, I'm thinking, sometimes we do feel like strangers and aliens here on this planet. And actually, a lot of people think we are, as believers, strange and alien. We're not home yet. And when we get home, it's coming. And it's certain. And we will make it safely into glory. Jesus will not lose anyone who puts their trust in him. None will be lost, okay? And so that is our destiny. So that motivates us to live our lives differently. We want to do what is right. We want to be people of justice. Yes, we have our rituals and our religious exercises, but all of that is supposed to affect the way we live, because when the world looks at us and they think we just go to church and it makes no difference, that really is a poor testimony. God changed us and is in the process of changing us. And so it's right that they would evaluate us. The sacred should have practical import in our lives. And the coming of the Lord is like that, isn't it, Eduardo? I mean, when Jesus said he was coming again, every time his coming is mentioned in the New Testament, there's the application, how are you going to live? In light of the fact that he's coming again, how are you going to live? And so that's kind of what is in this Old Testament passage here. But there are special blessings, look at this, as I read them, to those who are single, unique blessings, and foreigners are put in, but we're concentrating on the perspective. In the human perspective, the foreigner says, I'm bound to the Lord, but maybe the Lord will exclude me from his people. Now, in the temple, you might know that there was a court of the Gentiles. Gentiles were only allowed in so far. And so there was some feeling of exclusion or racial prejudice, you might say. The eunuchs likewise might say, I'm only a dry tree. I can imagine a eunuch saying that. I can imagine someone thinking that way. And our perspective, you know, we can feel stuck in the situation we're in. But look at what he says. And again, we're only concentrating this morning on the eunuchs, the divine perspective. This is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. Again, that's the relationship, isn't it? It's the covenant. It's a covenant of a single person with the Lord just as much as a married person has with the Lord. And then for a married person, they have with each other a covenant. But there's that issue of faith. There's that issue of covenant. And look what he says. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial, and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. Let's think of this for a moment. The scripture says that Jesus would produce offspring. Did he? Does Jesus have offspring? He does, doesn't he, Eduardo? He does. When he was asked the question, his family showed up. Do you remember this? His mother, his brothers. And he turned to the crowd and he says, who are my brothers and my mother and my brothers and my family? Those who obey the word of God. Can single people produce children of faith? Yes. Absolutely. Eduardo, you have many children of faith. Talk about that a little. Talk a little with us about the blessings that you have experienced in this life and some that you're anticipating in the future.
It's like, I think, natural passion when somebody wants to have 10 kids. Or 15?
Yeah, I was like that.
I grew up in families like that. For me, my heart and desire is to have a lot of kids. Mm. But I want to see them growing in the Lord. Mm. And I see them. I have a bunch. They call me almost every day. I have days specific for some specific people.
At 3 in the morning, do they
call? Yeah, sometimes for different reasons, yes. But I am used to talk to them, to chat with them, to eat together. I marry them. I baptize their kids. Now I'm marrying some of their kids. It is a great joy and a great blessing seeing all that. How are they growing in the Lord? I think I cannot even measure the joy to see them going strong. It's like, I think John in one of his letters talked about that. And I identify with that because my passion and desire is to bear fruit.
Yeah.
I'm unique from the point of view, I don't want to have natural kids, but from a spiritual point of view, yeah. I want a bunch.
Yeah.
Again, it is a great joy. Just pray for me that I keep bearing childs and bringing to the Lord. I need more fruit. I need more kids. I want to see them growing for Christ.
And I think all of us, whether married or single, see that and celebrate that, you know, that we have that opportunity. And our marital status does not really affect that. In fact, in some ways, as we just looked at, Paul says he chose to be single because it gave him freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very rare that a man who was a Pharisee, as Paul Saul was, would not have been married. That's kind of strange in that culture. But he chose to continue in singleness. Look at this in Isaiah 54. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Why? Because you're bearing spiritual children, is one way to interpret that. And how about this? Jesus made a promise. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. That's quite a statement. So Piper says, children are born into God's family and receive an inheritance not by marriage and procreation, but by faith and regeneration. Which means that single people in Christ have zero disadvantage in bearing children for God and may in some ways have a great advantage. Something to think about, huh? Before Eduardo closes us in prayer, I have one more John Piper quote. I'm so sorry, I've read other books, okay? But this is the one that really reached out to me. It's the one that like grabbed me. God promises spectacular blessings to those of you who remain single in Christ. And he gives you an extraordinary calling for your life. To be single in Christ is therefore not a falling short of God's best, but a path of Christ's exalting, covenant-keeping obedience that many are called to walk. Eduardo, how about you close us in some prayer?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time you gave us together. And I want to pray for us in a way we can present the gospel to the people and bring life and new birth.
Amen.
And new sons to your honor and glory. In a way we can keep growing and bear fruit. In a way they become more like Christ in the process. Thank you, Father, for that joy and privilege that you give it to all of us. Mm. Not only for those who are single, for everybody to bring birth and see new life. In your precious name, bless them, keep them, and challenge them during the week in a way you can perceive your presence every time. Mm. Bless you, Lord, and we love you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
When I'm around Eduardo, you know what the word that he uses almost as much as any word? It's a blessing. It's a blessing. I hear that from you all the time. Thank you for blessing us and being here today. Amen. Amen.